This is The Topic is Trek, episode 154.5 for Friday, March 8th, 2024. Coming up in this episode, have no fear, Discovery is here. Leonard Nimoy makes a video. No, really, he does. Well, we'll tell you about it. Star Trek sets sail for adventure on the high seas. All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. Trek fans on the ocean. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it, sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another thrill-packed episode of The Topic is Trek. I am Clinton, one of your co-hosts, and as I always say, in order to be a co-host, you have to have other hosts. Makes sense, right? So, beaming in to join me from parts unknown with the hip new catchphrase that's taken the internet by storm, it's Mr. Craig Stepp.
My goodness.
The transporter needs work.
I have to get out and push. Out of sight.
Well, I mean, space is big, so a lot of times you would be out of sight, so...
Got the pointy fingers going?
Oh, I see, doing that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The whole love boat thing going on there, okay.
Yeah. A little Isaac going on.
Yeah, as little as... okay. I was more sold on it before, but now the love boat thing, I don't know. When it's used already.
Right, okay. Fine, and whatever. Also
So try again next time. And beaming in also to join us is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
I don't know what's up with the sound effects tonight. I push buttons and the computer over there says, unexpected error. Anyway, I was looking at your opening image. Was that Leonard Nimoy in the background?
It was.
Okay, that's what I thought. I'm like, okay, it's funny with just, you know, Gopher and Captain Steubing, but when you got a Spock photobombing, that's pretty funny.
Wait, you mean this image?
Yes.
Yeah. Look right past.
Oh, and there's a back. Oh, gotcha. It's in the back.
So once again, you got to watch the video.
You have to watch the video
to get to see why I called it episode 154.5. So it's got that going for you as well.
Wait a minute. So did you Photoshop this yourself? Or is this AI?
I told you, it's a picture from the cruise. Why don't you believe it?
Because it's pretty good.
Because Leonard Nimoy passed away a long time ago.
He wasn't doing anything. He was just sitting there.
Which is a sad segue, because we do have someone who did pass away.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, we'd like to take a moment to recognize the passing of Kenneth Mitchell, who passed away on February 24th of this year at the age of only 49. He'd been battling ALS for 6 years, but his hope never faded, and he continued to stay active in Trek fandom and Trek productions as long as he could gather the strength to do so. We'll miss you, Ken, and we're sure that every warrior in Stovacor is trembling at the knowledge that Kor is on his way.
Absolutely. We weren't sure how many celebrations or Klingon death chants to do, because he played so many characters.
Yeah, played three, and then he was... He was an extra on an episode of Lower Decks. I don't know if he did any other work. Those are the ones I recall.
Well, I'll tell you something. I thought he is like a stark reminder of what ALS can do for you or do to you.
Right.
Because, you know, the first year I saw him on there playing basketball.
Yeah.
Literally the next year, he was in a wheelchair, and I was like, what happened?
Then the next year, he can't really speak without the assistance of a computer. Right. And then we didn't see him
again. I'm not going to say, I don't mean amazing as in, like, it was great. You know, I mean, it's amazing to see how it progressed. And it's a, like I said, it's a stark reminder of how this can really take somebody.
Right. So, yeah. And you know, that research is always essential in cases like this to, you know, hope that they one day we get that cure.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll try to lighten things up. But the past couple of episodes, we seem to start off with somebody who's passed away. So
yeah.
I hope nobody pass away, please.
We're all getting older. It's going to happen.
But speaking about things that shouldn't happen, I shouldn't have to ask Charlie X if it's okay to go ahead with our subspace chatter section. So what do you say, Charlie?
Yeah, denied again.
Yeah. Denied.
I thought as much. All right, well, Chuck, why don't you disobey Charlie's orders and give us the first story?
Up yours, Chuck. Oh, the Charlie Chuck.
It doesn't work. No, this
didn't work.
No.
The final season of Star Trek Discovery will premiere exactly when we said it would, April 4th. What we didn't expect is that Paramount Plus would premiere the first two episodes on the same day. Mm. Ooh, we got our work cut out for us. With only 10 episodes for the entire season, a few new Trek shows in the pipeline, we figured Paramount would want to dish out the episodes as slowly as possible. Well, the announcement came with the new trailer for season 5, featuring what appears to be a bit of dialogue-y from the final episode. Naturally, we'll be covering each episode of the season, beginning with the episodes 1 and 2, the same day they premiere. Oh boy. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. Now, Paramount just unveiled one of the newest series called Stargaze, and it's intended to be a web series of conversations between the unprecedented stars on screen who bring diverse characters to life.
I think that's underrepresented stars.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm underrepresented. I'm sorry. I kind of slid over that word. In the premiere episode, Sonequa Martin-Green and Tawny Newsome sit down and talk about Trek representation and spill a bit of Earl Grey tea. Okay. In the interview does not include some of the conversations they've had that we've seen in the promotion clips for the show, but it is an entertaining half hour that also gets into some weighty issues. We'll have the link to in the show notes for this episode, the Trek fans on the ocean on the topic is Trek.
Hey, I'm pushing buttons. I got to reboot the other computer. It's just not happy tonight.
Yeah. No
kidding. Ding. I'll just do it manually then.
There you go. All right. Do I need to get my sound effects up?
No, please don't. We'll have conflicting sound effects.
When we're having no sound effects. What do you mean?
I'm going to fix it.
There you go.
We're not hearing yours either.
There you go.
Okay. Clinton, I think that's your cue. Save this show. You're muted.
Please. You're muted.
Wow. We take a couple of weeks off.
No, I tried to mute during the other person's, and look what I get.
Hey, wait a minute. Starfleet just called and they told us to stop.
No, we got a cease and desist from Roddenberry.
I know you guys saw Sonequa and Tawny on the cruise. Did you get a chance to see this? What's this interview?
I've not watched the interview. I knew it was happening, but I didn't know. I didn't get to watch it.
I guess not really an interview so much as a conversation that we're having. So, but it's definitely edited. I think they keep in a lot of good stuff. But as we talked about, you'll see things in the clips when they promote it, and you don't get that part of the conversation. So there is some editing that went on during this, but a lot of stuff does get covered with it.
Hey, if Tawny Newsome's sitting around talking, there's going to be some editing.
Yeah. Well, let's move on and not think about that. I'm going to have Craig, if you can, at the appropriate times, advance slides for me. Okay. If you were ever a fan of Night Court, like I was, and I am, then be sure not to miss next Tuesday's episode of season 2 of The Reboot. Now, you probably already know that Brent Spiner played a semi-reoccurring character named Bob Wheeler on the show. Well, Bob and his wife, June, will be back in court to face Judge Stone. Except, of course, the judge is now Abby Stone, Harry Stone's daughter. But Dan Fielden will be there, so no doubt with appropriate reactions, especially that Dan is now the court's defense attorney and may have to defend the Wheelers this time around, which is a nice spin on things.
Yep.
Okay, now I'm going to take a drink here because this is where I go down the rabbit hole. And you all know what that's like.
Mm.
So follow me, won't you? All right. Doing a bit of investigating, I found a video of a convention at which friend of the show, Larry Nemechek, asked Brent Spiner about the character of Bob Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
A long answer involving Texas and the former Howard Johnson's in Times Square, a place that I have had a meal or two in the past. Brent does answer the question. I'll have a link to that video in the show notes for this episode, Trek Fans on the Ocean, over at thetopicistrek.com. But let's go deeper. In answering Larry's question, Brent explained that he had been doing that voice since he was a kid. Then he talked about the plan to have Bob and June Wheeler become recurring characters on the show during the show's sixth season. But at that point, Star Trek had come along and dashed those ideas. Still, it wasn't the end for Bob Wheeler, in a fashion. During season three of the sitcom Mama's Family, Brent played a character named Billy Bob Conroy in two episodes of the show, and the character was essentially Bob Wheeler.
Oh, no.
I'll also have a link to the part of the episode that he makes his appearance in the show notes for this episode. And while Annie O'Donnell will return to play June Wheeler, Bob's wife, Kerry Houlihan will not be returning to play the daughter, Carol Ann. But comedian musician Kate Musucci will be taking on that role. Okay, so it's time to stop going down the rabbit hole. Just watch Night Court next Tuesday at 8, 7 Central on NBC. And that was not a paid promo. That was just me going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. This was one of those shows.
Any of the reboot of Night Court?
I have not.
I have. I have been watching it because it was something my parents loved this show, and I watched a good bit of this one, of Night Court, the original Night Court, because I thought it was fantastic back in the day. So I need to catch up and finish up with it, but I've been watching it. And when I saw the news, actually, I think Kim, my wife, had asked me, we were talking about something. I said, you know, Brent Spiner was in Night Court. She goes, Night Court. And I mentioned Bob Wheeler. And she was like, really? And we talked about it a little bit on the cruise. I was not aware that he was actually going to be back playing it. And I said, she said, do you think he'll be back playing it? I says, I don't know. And then
this story comes up.
We get back. Here's the news.
And, and in the interview with Larry Nemechek, when Larry's asking him about it, he talks about, you know, this was 4 years ago. At least the video was posted 4 years ago. I'm not sure how long ago the interview actually was, but he talks about, he had hoped that there would have been a reboot of the show, but then of course, you know, Harry Anderson passed away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that dashed those hopes but things change in Hollywood. Now he's going to be making a reappearance on the reboot of Night Court.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing this on, I'll definitely be checking this out.
All right. So let's move on to our next story. Speaking of the cruise, take it away, Chuck.
While on board the 2024 Star Trek cruise, Doug Jones recounted his getting some words of wisdom from none other than Sir Patrick Stewart. Our favorite Kelpian was on a Discovery panel with co-star Sinequa Martin Green, David Ajala, Anthony Rapp, Mary Chifo, and Eve Harlow. Reminiscing on the negative reception Star Trek Discovery Season 1 received from some longtime Trek fans, Doug Jones told the story of meeting Patrick Stewart at the 2018 Oscars red carpet and what Stewart told him after learning Jones was now part of Star Trek. He says, I was the Oscars in early 2018 and we just had finished filming season one of Discovery and Sir Patrick was right behind me in the red carpet line. So I turned to him, Sir, Mr. Patrick, Mr. Stewart, I'm Doug Jones and I'm in The Shape of Water. That's why I'm here. But we have a connection. I'm actually also in the new Star Trek series, Discovery. All he said to me was, oh, I hope you know what you're in for. Yes, now I do. And I love every minute of it. Yep.
Chuck, that's the worst Patrick Stewart I've ever heard.
I wasn't going to go there.
And Doug Jones wasn't that spot on either. Yep.
Once you're in the family, you're in the family. Right. Craig and I will have a lot more to say about the cruise in just a few minutes.
That's right. So, who said there's nothing new to discover in Classic Trek?
There's nothing new to discover in Classic Trek.
I knew somebody would say it.
Wrong.
Right. A few days ago, YouTube user,
there's a lot. Well, he's not a YouTuber, I guess. I guess he doesn't.
Yeah, YouTuber. Here you go. Rob O'Hara uploaded a rare off-the-air VHS recording made decades ago. It was a show aired on TV station K-A-U-T. I wanted to say Kraut.
K-A-U-T. Careful.
Yeah, on Channel 43 in Oklahoma City. It had Leonard Nimoy hosting an airing of the Star Trek's the first motion picture. Not that motion picture. We mean the Menagerie. Mm-hmm. So we all know that Trek became very popular in syndication in the 70s. By 1975, Paramount wanted a way to extend the Trek live-action catalog. The studio stitched together parts 1 and 2 of the Menagerie and labeled it as a movie. So Nimoy shot host segments as himself. We see him being beamed in by into the transporter room onto the bridge, sort of. And the backgrounds were just short loops of footage from the series. These movies, quote unquote, movies, became a trend in many shows. But most of the time, we came across just two, it just came across as two completely different episodes because that's what they were. Really, at least the Menagerie parts 1 and 2 were very much the same story. Excuse me. So O'Hara presents the footage as a video with a video. And so he adds lots of information about the unique piece of Trek history. So we'll have a link of the video in the show notes for this episode. Trek fans on the ocean over at thetopicistrek.com. One thing that surprised us was the fact that the tape was it's interesting to note that the airing was digitized, had been shown on Channel 43 in Oklahoma City in 1983. Yep. This quote unquote movie was still airing after the motion picture and the Wrath of Khan had already premiered and the year Search for Spock would premiere.
It's just so weird to think about him talking about this movie.
Right.
When there actually were movies.
Right. Yeah. But
that's what happens when it goes into syndication and just stays there forever.
So Star Trek 3 was actually Star Trek 4.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All the numbering is wrong.
He was pretty bold in the video to say, the Menagerie is probably the best episode of Star Trek ever.
I know. It's kind of sad because that was like the first episode.
Yeah. And, first episode. And City on the Edge of Forever was nominated for awards. I don't remember the Menagerie coming up for anything.
Well, he's trying to sell this as a thing to stay and watch. But anybody that's watched Star Trek ever, and it's, at this point, it's extremely popular in syndication in 1975, will go, I've seen this. This is just the Menagerie. It's part 1 and part 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a movie. Well,
I've seen this movie before.
I'm going to go again and again. It's much better than Cats.
Right. But do you guys remember we had a whole slew of these things that would come up? Battlestar Galactica did this. Space 99 did this. It's just kind of, and those, they just jammed two episodes together. No continuing storyline, no nothing. just like, what is this?
Here, look at this, kids.
Yeah. Now we have twice as much story.
We thought Hollywood was lazy today. They've been doing this for a long time.
Wow.
I'll tell you, when you mentioned Battlestar Galactica, I know we're getting a little off the Star Trek topic, but Battlestar Galactica, there was a magazine, and I mentioned this on our show Technorama with Chuck a long time ago, but there was a magazine called Pizzazz Magazine. It came from Marvel. But it had
jazz hands.
That's right. Pizzazz. And Pizzazz had a lot of stories about movies and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I remember seeing a fold out. It was like 2-page picture. I'm trying to remember if it was Pizzazz. Maybe it was. Anyway, I got the magazine over here, but it was a picture of Starbuck and Apollo on one side of a little rock bridge, and they're posing, they're shooting towards a Cylon.
That's from the pilot.
Yes, and the Cylon's standing there, and I remember as a kid being a Star Wars fan, looking at that picture, going, "What a ripoff! It looks like Darth Vader." But he's Chrome
Vader.
Completely different.
I mean, there's only one Cylon sitting there, so it looks like he's the villain. It's a, you know, Chrome Darth Vader. What a rip.
No, Darth Vader had two eyeball sockets, and the Cylon has this thing that goes back and forth like Kit.
It was literally sideways, so it's hard to tell. I'll see if I can send you the picture, but yeah, I was like, what a rip. To coin a 70s phrase, what a ripoff.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those people that saw Battlestar Galactica in the theater and sense around. So, you
know,
I paid the price.
All right.
Exactly, Eric. Exactly. Well, we have no new news out of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada once again, and I'm getting concerned. But as pointed out before, well, it's winter there and things are kind of slow. So,
are they still there?
They're still there. I checked. They they're having just kind of things involving...
I looked on Google Maps. They're there.
Yeah.
You called so City Hall. Hey, they're fine. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, they're in hibernation right now. So we'll get back to them as soon as possible. But we have links to dozens of stories, and I don't have an exact number because I'm still putting some more in after we finish recording the show. There's so many. This is what happens when we're off for that long, of stories that you can read when you go to the show notes for this episode. Trek fans on the ocean over at thetopicistrek.com, and a little bit of everything in there. Articles that had to deal with TOS, which is unusual. I don't know why it was suddenly getting this new burst of stories about it, but you know, it's always interesting to check those trend lines to see how things are going. Also, Paramount Global was releasing their financials, and I didn't have time to sift through it enough to be able to give a presentation on that and try to keep it as short as possible. So we'll deal with that in our next episode when the dust has settled on stuff and maybe they've been sold. Who knows what will happen at that point. So in the meantime, it's time for one of my favorite parts of the show. Not when StreamYards drops me, which is already done twice this episode, but when I get to say goodbye, Charlie.
I want
to
stay.
No, you need to disembark, Mark.
Yes.
It's a Pepper's ghost, Charlie.
Sorry, you have to disembark at your designated time.
Disembark at the Embarcadero.
Did someone say do some bark?
So it's time to head out on a main mission with an appropriate sound effect. If we have any sound effects going on right now.
I got it fixed for now.
Oh,
no, okay. Craig. That was Craig. A little slow on the wrong button.
That's right.
So our main mission is we're going to be talking about, well, Chuck and Craig are going to be talking about, and I will chime in with the occasional question, and I have some slides from them that we can go through as well, or kind of as a visual aid. We don't want to, you know, put aside the people that are listening to the podcast, but we do have some visual stuff as well. Star Trek The Cruise took place from February 22nd to 29th of this year, and it departed out of Port Canaveral with stops in Curacao and Aruba.
Jamaica.
So it was seven glorious days and three fun-filled nights. I don't know how that works out.
That's about how much sleep I got.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you talking about our sleep schedule? Yeah,
pretty much. By the way, this is a visual representation of what the cruise ship looked like in space.
That's so exactly what it looks like.
Just letting you know that.
Yep.
All right. But before we get into the actual cruise itself, I believe the first thing I've got here is you guys, because obviously the as I mentioned, the cruise was taking place out of Port Canaveral. Looks like you made a side trip to the space
Well
center.
one of us did. Actually, that first picture there is of the vehicle assembly building in NASA. Mm-hmm. I happened to look out the window and went, holy crap, we're going by NASA. And I had to snap some pictures. And that's from the airplane. So
wow. I was wondering how we're getting so high up to take a picture.
And then that's a long selfie stick.
Yeah.
And then he was taking pictures, and then the person in the center seat and window seat said, "Sir, can you get off our laps?"
No. Actually, Kim said, "What's that?" And the first, you don't have it here, but there's a couple pictures I took of the launch pads, and I went, "Oh, holy crap, this is NASA." And then I got that picture. And of course, that astronaut was just hanging around in the lobby of my hotel.
Oh, up in your hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hotels have various NASA stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
The and the picture you've got there of me and Donna is actually after the cruise. It was when we disembarked. We went to Kennedy Space Center. It was a shore excursion at the we basically left from the terminal. I've never had a shore excursion after a cruise, but that was fun. A bit of an odd story though. The image in when we got there, the countdown clock. We got there. It wasn't counting down the mission that was going off that day. They said, "Oh, there's a launch going off sometime between 10:30 and 12:30 today." So we got there at 10:15, got off the bus, ran through the park, and got to the observation deck with 5 minutes to spare. It was overcast, and we saw the rocket go up. And by the time I figured out where it was, they had like a simulcast on a live stream, which was about 10 seconds delayed, as many live streams are. And I was watching that screen and watching the countdown clock, and the countdown clock got to zero, and I didn't see anything take off. By the time I found out where the rocket was, it looked like somebody basically threw a match in the air because it disappeared into the clouds. Went, oh, that little flame was it. Then you heard the sound effect. Now, if you've ever been at an airport when a jet comes in for a landing and slams on its brakes and you hear that big rumble, the whole sky rumbled like that, twice as loud for twice as long. It was awesome.
It's interesting that you say that, because I didn't realize the time clock was off.
Yeah.
However, I knew there was a launch that day, and I was like, and I remember thinking, why is the time clock that far off?
Well, there's another launch coming up later that day. We walked in, like I said, about 10:15, that launch clock said T-minus, 13 hours. We were there for 2.5 hours. We had to be back on the bus by 1:30. I came back and took a picture later. It's at T-minus 5 hours. Somewhere we lost 8 hours. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
They're just messing with you.
Yeah.
Your time is relative, and they're pointing it out by having this.
There's a black hole close to the rocket garden or whatever they call it.
We need Aaron McDonald back stat to explain all of this.
Sure. But that makes sense.
It's funny that you, like I said, you brought that up, because I remember thinking, well, that didn't look like the right time they just left the ship, and that other launch just took off. Yeah. Why does it say
there were some others going on?
Yeah, that's funny.
So anyway, back to the cruise. We sort of jumped over to the end of the story.
Let's quickly talk about the ship itself, because this time around, I think it's your first time doing the cruise on the Mariner of the Seas.
No, we did have the Mariner before, but Beckett Mariner wasn't there. It was before Tawny Newsome came along. So this is the second time that we've sailed on the Mariner.
By the way, Clinton, somebody had posted on Facebook, Boimler of the Seas, and had it scratched out and had Boimler sitting there like this.
You don't want to get on a ship that's been boimed. I'm telling you right now.
No.
You don't want that.
Everybody runs around going, ah!
It's not a new ship to you guys. One of the other cruises was.
No, and we went on the Explorer last year, which is the same class, very similar layout. So it was familiar territory all around. The cast, oh man, I can't even name them all, but there were a lot. We had many of the usuals: Doug Jones, Denise Crosby, John DeLancey, Garrett Wong. Once again, they tried to get Robert Duncan McNeil, but he backed out. So
a commitment from.
And then you had Discovery, Anthony Rapp.
Yep.
Nickel Martin Green was there. People were super excited about that.
We had Walter,
which is great.
Walter was there, so he was the TOS representative this time around. Who else do we have? We did get to see Eve Harlow. She showed up, even though she doesn't show up for a couple more weeks on the show. Armin Shimerman and Max Grodenchik were there. So representatives from pretty much every show including the animated series and Picard. Ed Spaliers was there. Robert Picardo. Yep, he's a regular.
Yeah, Connor Trenier.
David Ajala joined us for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, usually what we find is at conventions, and I think on the cruise as well, you can tell who's been on a cruise before as far as the celebrities go and who hasn't. Just like who's been to a convention before and who hasn't.
Yeah.
At the level of comfort or non-comfort sometimes with the crowd. So rather than asking, say, who was most like shy about it, of the people that were new, who was the most like, I'm going to go out there and do stuff and have fun and just like be everywhere. I think one of them was Todd.
Todd was surprisingly, I mean, he was great, but I only saw him on stage. I really didn't see him roaming around too much. John Billingsley was back. He's always fun.
I would say that I think based on past feedback that people were seeing more stars walking around than in the past. But there are some stars that you didn't see as much of.
Right.
But yeah, like Robert Picardo, I saw him like, what, 8 times, you know?
Yeah,
I didn't go approach him or anything, but
Armin and Max were pretty fair to spot. Will Wheaton was pretty aloof. He was at his signings and autographs and whatnot. I did get him to autograph his favorite board game that I have. I brought it. I was listening to Gates McFadden's podcast a while back. It's called Gates McFadden Investigates. Who do you think you are?
That's right.
And she did a two-parter with Will. And one of the questions she said was, what is your favorite board game? And he said, oh, it's an old game from the late 70s, early 80s called the Mad Magazine game. And he had been on Star Trek The Cruise 3 when you were there, Clinton. And that's the last time we've seen him. And I said, oh, if he ever gets on another cruise, I'm bringing it and hope we can play. So we saw him at that entry ceremony, the sail away party on the first day. And I said, Will, I'm staying right like next to him across the barrier.
I know you see me.
I waved him over and I said, hey,
Chuck.
What's the odds that you and I can play the Mad Magazine game? And he went, you brought it? And he was very excited. Yeah. He said, my schedule is kind of busy. So I signed up later for an autograph session with him and had him sign it. So my dear, decrepit, old, falling apart board game is there. And
Wait a minute. So I was in line with you.
Yeah.
I walked up to the table with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't get anything signed because I didn't pay for it. But you open the box and tell everybody what the little tokens.
Oh, it's so old. Most of the tokens are lost. I don't even know if any of them are original. There's one that's a rock. Yeah, there's a piece from Sorry. There's a
Chakotay prayer stone.
A Pepsi screw on bottle cap. There are two Bud Light bottle caps. One is bent, so you don't get them confused.
Yeah, of course.
It's just really, it's got character, I'll say.
You know what?
Yeah.
When you showed those little tokens, I thought, this kind of embodies the Mad Magazine board game.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I love.
The actual tokens.
Well, the lady in front of me started talking, and he mentioned something about dial-up bulletin boards, and I totally forgot until that point. When I got up there, I said, you just reminded me, I used to run a dial-up bulletin board called the Enterprise.
Yeah,
and he said, oh, what software did you use? I said, we wrote our own. He said, was it part of FidoNet? I said, no, it was Usenet. He goes, really? I mean, he was downright nerdy impressed with it. I was like, that was a long time ago, but it was a lot of fun. He's cool.
Now, the other thing that he did while we were standing in line waiting on him, and it was fun. This is what I like is when seeing actors or, stars interacting with the people, their fans. And so the people. But what was cool was this one girl came up and the first thing she said was she was apologizing because he was the last of the TNG crew to sign a bookmark that she had. But he turned it around. He went, wait,
we're
finishing.
We've completed a quest. He announced it. He said,
he went, Yeah, he got nut. He got crazy over it.
He got this streamers and poppers on it. Boy, this lady felt really honored. Like
he put this little ring on that had streamers, and he went for people that are watching the video. He went and popped his hand out to make the streamers come out. We're finishing a quest. He was making a big deal about it, and he signed the bookmark for her. And I thought that was pretty nice.
That was cool.
Well, also, he would say, "Well, you saved the best for last." But, you know.
Hey.
True.
There was another lady that had a D12, and he had signed it twice before. So
how do you sign a D12?
Big. It was like the size of a softball.
Yeah, it was like a big foam one.
So he every time he signed on the number.
Big foam one is those. That's when the crews get compressed into those. No, you don't want to sign that. That they're gonna have the tattoos on them when they get reconstituted.
Right. So like 2 years ago, he signed side number one and dated it. Then side number two. So now he's on number three, and he said, I guess we're going to keep doing this for another few years. it was nice. It was a lot of fun. But again, he was very hard to find outside of those scheduled events.
Well, speaking of which, one of those scheduled events, which I found interesting, is their take this year on which presentation.
Oh, my God.
Spock's brain.
Oh, my God. That was freaking hilarious. I'm not kidding you. Robert Picardo was great as Spock because he's got that stoic face already, and he was kind of blank the whole time. Oh, there went Clinton. He'll be back. So yeah. Anyway, one thing that Robert Picardo did that was hilarious was he's standing there holding the script, trying to look like he's having no interaction with everybody. And let me wait for Clinton to come back. Okay.
I'm back.
All right. So Robert Picardo standing there with a script in his hand, no words, standing there with that stupid thing on his head,
staring straight ahead.
And he just goes, he flips flips the pages like he's paying attention. And he did that a few times. But his stoic face was fantastic.
So I did get a free Garrett Wong signature. On previous cruises, I've bought a stick-on whiteboard. They have door decorating competition, and I do a question of the day. So and man, people were creative. I thought of some ahead of time, but they took it to a new level this year. Let's see, Star Trek cruise of the day for day number four. The Gorn from Strange New Worlds have been reported aboard Mariner of the Seas. What do you do? One person said, "Go overboard."
That's okay.
One said, "Feed it John Delancey."
Oh, my.
Another one said, "Introduce it to the washy washy ladies."
Yeah.
"Give it a high five. Lead right. them to the poison Quattro Triticale." All hail our lizard masters. I mean, these people were just crazy. And then at one point I said, "Choose your weapon." That's all. That wasn't even a question. It was just choose your weapon. Or who's your favorite musician? So Garrett came by and he signed his name and wrote Batleth on the choose your weapon day. So I saved that. I cut it out. It's really hard to get something on whiteboard home safely without it wearing out. So I have to be very careful until I get some tape over this thing.
You can just have him go laminated. Over a permanent marker at Dragon Con.
It was so cool because just doing stuff like that. People would drop off things. I had a little magnetic marker holder, so you could hold the markers. People dropped off. I got a Moopsie pin.
Moopsie.
Oh, no.
I got some stickers. I got a little Tribble. Someone left me one of last year's Gorn, the little towel Gorns we got. I don't need another one of these. I have one that hasn't been decorated. He's still in my cubbies that hold my shoes
right?
the last year. Yeah. So the swag we got new passport.
There he is.
There's the Gorn, the towel Gorn.
Props to ECP for giving us gifts that were not given before.
That's hard to do because
We did get the passport thing before,
right? Because the year that I was with you guys, it was a passport.
Yep.
It was a backpack.
Yep.
The poster, of course. A hat.
Baseball cap. We got a new hat this year. The big wide brim sun hat.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Was they kind of mixed it up? So you got a wide brim straw hat. We got a license plate.
Yep.
Is it STV7, you know, for seven. There was a poster, obviously a t-shirt, and the passport cover.
The thing about the passport cover,
they always make you take the passport out.
I have it in that, but I have it in it so I can easily remove it because nobody will take it at the, you know.
Yeah.
The,
anywhere. Not a TSA, not a customs, not, never. Yeah. Yeah.
This one was more like a wallet, too, because it had some little card slots, so you could put the...
Oh, we got bags. Little... We got bags, but these are kind of not very useful bags. They're about 2.5 feet high, 2 feet wide, and about 3 inches thick. So unless you're carrying a deck of posters around, or you're going shopping for 20 baguettes, they're not really going to do you much good.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking about the door decorations, and a couple of pictures in here that I think, Craig, you took. One is of Nomad.
Yes.
On the door.
Yes. That was...
You said Nomad talked?
Yeah. Well, you walked by it, and it was a, you know, it would say, you are in error, or... You know, whatever
you Nomad things. You like, are a biological unit.
Yeah.
So it was motion activated type of thing?
Yes. You would go by, because I would always walk by it not thinking, and then it would speak. I'm like, what? Oh. And somebody else had somebody else had a thing on their door that would also speak. You'd walk by it and go, you know, make the door close.
I think I'm gonna start making some more electronic stuff in the future.
Yeah. And then, of course, right beside that picture, I know if you're watching the audio or listening to the audio,
watching the audio is really boring.
There's the all the robots from Futurama, Lower Decks, you know, all the maniacal robots that they have in incarceration.
Peanut Hamper.
Yeah. And there was some other clever ones, too. Kim picked up a bookmark. It was Data and Dr. Crusher dancing, which is kind of cool.
Well, speaking about evil computers, pictures of
here's Armus seen
on board, and one of the people is carrying a very evil computer with him.
Yep, there's Armus. Actually, what's funny is I took this picture, and then a few days, a day or two later, I spoke to this guy, and I think he was on our excursion. And I said, oh, man, I saw a guy carrying Armus. He went, that was me. I went, oh, sorry.
Good job, Craig. Well, way to go with the introductions.
Well, you can see he's not making eye contact with me.
As opposed to me, I pay attention to everybody. I had way too many conversations with wonderful people. Lots of the lady in the middle, she was wearing, driving around the scooter, and I caught up from her from behind. And she had a sign on the back that said something to the effect of, I knew I shouldn't have worn my red shirt today. And I thought that was funny that she was in a scooter making a fun about the red shirt. Then I got to the front and saw a similar sign. And she was talking to some people, and I realized her face is all banged up. I mean, she's got this big old purple splotch on her jaw. And she said, I introduced myself. Her name's Leedy. And I said, Leedy, what happened? And she said, well, I fell down a couple weeks ago, and my son-in-law thought it'd be funny to put these signs on my scooter. I said, he was right.
Yep.
He was right. You're getting a lot of attention. I saw her later in the week and had a wonderful conversation with her again. So it got to be the last night in karaoke, and the room was packed. It was Connor Trinneer and Anthony Montgomery hosting a two-hour thing at the end. I got up to sing, and I looked out in the audience, and there must have been 100 people in the room or more. And I could name at least 20 just by looking at them and going, there's Kevin, there's Rose, just naming these people. Now he's got some interesting experiences up here.
Hold on before you move on.
Yeah.
Go back to that slide before.
The cat people?
Yeah. So that is Cleo and Leslie.
So you did learn some names besides Marge.
Well, they were also on our excursion, but we watched, we met Leslie, but her husband, obviously the taller guy, he was in the chair having it applied. We spoke to him about it the day after, and they were talking about how long it took, and it took like several hours to put this on, and I was like, I would hate to pay to get this put on and look so good and then have to take it back off.
Right. So yeah, they would definitely get in the full. No, this is why you talk about the actors talk about, I was at the studio at 5 o'clock in the morning for a 9 o'clock shoot.
Absolutely. Know? Now these would take about 2 to 4 hours. It depends on what it is, but that, I mean, you can tell that's, it looks pretty good and it matches their natural skin very well. So it's hard to see even where it blended together. It was great.
There were a lot of people getting the makeup jobs. We saw many Ferengi, some Romulans.
Were there more makeup artists than the previous years?
I think so. I think there were two this
time. I saw three to four.
Okay.
One day when we were down, Kim and I were in, it was in the
Subspace Rhapsody
lounge. And there was about four guys and one was kind of floater helping people out. So yeah, there was at least three or four people.
Dr. Muhammad Nora was getting some pointed ears on and I said, you can't be a Vulcan because you're always smiling. He goes, I posted it
on Facebook saying, hey, what's this species reassignment procedure?
He's like Cybok. He's the smiling Vulcan.
That's what I said. Unless you're Cybok, wipe that grin off your face or you're a Romulan. He goes, I'm a Romulan.
Yes.
So it was a lot of fun. I saw a very good Borg, you know, complete with the kind of grayish and the black lines. He was our leader because this year Donna and I got assimilated. This is our fifth cruise.
Oh, wait. The guy you took a picture of, I saw him getting his makeup. He was sitting in one of the chairs.
And I took a picture of
the kind of short. It was shorter than you, but he was kind of as thinner kind of guy with the DS9 gray shoulder pad uniform on.
Okay. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
But, took a picture with him. Anyway, so he was a Borg and we saw him in the chair for a while and he was they were painting his hands and everything. And then there was one guy. Kim said, why is this one taking so long? It was a guy. He was a Trill, but he didn't have a shirt on or anything. And just shorts.
Yes.
So he was going down the whole
decoration.
All the way down. I was like, Kim goes, oh, the makeup guy got a chair. I was like, yeah, we can watch him for about another couple hours.
So speaking about running into people now, you had several photo ops that you guys sent me pictures of. One with Kirk and Spock with speaking of the menagerie, blow up of one of the map paintings from the menagerie, and Chuck having real problems with the captain's chair from Disco.
I made an animated GIF out of that. I'm just banging on that thing all day. It's great,
but it's weird because the other photo that you sent, a couple of the photos, I went, this is like flashback to the Star Trek experience, you know, your interactions with this Gorn statue is like, you've got several places you've got interactions with
I think that's the same Gorn.
It's
from the experience.
It could be. He's holding his stick a little higher than he was back then because we have a picture of Craig on, he's holding his right hand up high and his left hand down low. And his left hand is at the end of the stick. Well, back in Vegas, it was not that high because we have Craig, the stick is lower and Craig was getting it in the nuts. That's how I know he's not holding it the same. So we took advantage of this and we posed a picture where I'm whacking Craig over the head with the stick. So, a lot of fun.
Is that what we were doing? Okay.
All right. Let's talk briefly here about just so we get a sense of the full experience you guys did excursions and I couldn't quite tell, you know, what went with what in here, but I know that one of them, there's pictures of you, Chuck, in a wetsuit. So I'm assuming that was
Donna and I went on two snorkeling excursions, one on Curacao and one on Aruba. The one on Curacao was the one we were joined by Eve Harlow and, had a great time. The one in Aruba, I wear a wetsuit jacket, short sleeve wetsuit jacket, partly to keep afloat because I don't float well and I don't want to spend all my effort trying to stay afloat. So
I don't either.
It also helps keep me warm. I do have a full-length wetsuit, which I got right before we went on Star Trek The Cruise 3, but that pack's bigger, and what I found in Hawaii is I got hot and had to take half of it off. I said, well, if I'm only going to wear half of it, I'll buy a short one. So when we were in Hawaii in 2022 with Lisa and Grantis, I rented one and then just bought it at the end. So sitting next to me is Woody. That's the Jean-Luc Picard lookalike. He's an old friend. We see him on every cruise. Woody from Texas. He and his wife Celeste, wonderful couple. We interact with them quite often.
Does they have a winery in Texas?
Easy to spot. Easy to spot.
Does they have a vineyard in Texas?
No.
Oh,
it's funny.
He's not doing cosplay right.
It's
no.
Oh,
no,
we also met. We also saw the gentleman from Dragon Con who looks like Scotty.
Yes,
he's been on the cruise, and I said, "Look, I've seen you so many years at Dragon Con. You're on the cruise. What is your name?" He said, "It's Larry." Only he's from Alabama, Arkansas, whatever.
He's from Alabama.
Alabama. It's one of those where
Larry and his brother Daryl.
Your mind wants to put Scotty's voice in this person, but it doesn't come out. Same thing with Woody. You know, you want to hear Patrick Stewart, but what you hear is, "Ha, Chuck."
And they're wise enough to know I can't do it, so I'm not going to try.
Right. He's got the smile, he's got the pulse, but
you know, two things about that guy. So I saw him. I saw him several times, but two times we were having breakfast at one of those, like a bar, you know, where it's like not a bar, but like a bar and with a table bar.
Yeah,
and he's sitting on the end of it. We're sitting on one end. And I saw a guy come up to him, and even when he's not in costume, he looks like, you know, Scotty. He's got the darker gray mustache with the white hair. And he said, "I got to tell you, I just want to let you know that TOS means a lot to me, blah, blah, blah." And he kind of started confessing his whole life to this guy. I'm like, and Larry said, "Thank you." You know, what do you say? I'm like, I'm trying to figure out if the guy was serious or he was messing with him, Larry. But
I think Larry took the right tact with that. You know,
all I could say was thank you. You know, and he was gracious about it. I was surprised. Well, the second time I talked to him, I said I got to know your name, because just like Chuck did, I was like, I've seen you at Dragon Con. I said, "You come to Dragon Con, right?" He says, "Yes."
I said, he'll be there.
Okay. I said, "We've seen you at Dragon Con a million times. I want to know your name." He said, "Larry." And I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Huntsville, Alabama." And he mentioned, I said, "What do you do?"
"I'm an engineer."
And he said that he works on missile guidance systems. I went, "So you are an engineer?" He said, "Yes, I am."
It is time travel right there.
So he was pretty cool about it. But yeah. Anyway.
And tell us about your excursion, Craig. You went, looks like you were doing some scouting out and about.
The mango farm?
This was the worst excursion ever. All right. So first off, the ship comes in about an hour late. Not a problem. We get on the excursion. The buses are there. You know, no problem. We go on the excursion. We go to a mango farm. All right. That's part of it. And then we're going to a beach later. We go to the mango farm. They start walking us around, showing us the place. We saw these beautiful mango trees. But guess what?
It's not mango season.
Yeah, mango season is between October and December.
So you're looking at bare trees.
Yeah. What the hell are we doing here? Hey, they didn't even have any in the commissary like to eat. Or I was like, are you serious? So there was that. And then when we got to the beach, because of the delay of the ship, we only had like an hour to get in the water.
Well, that was like the cruise that when we went on the cruise and we did the river, the float down the river, but it wasn't the rainy season, so they had to pull us most of the timing is everything. And this was not good timing.
And they don't tell you that, you know, before you sign up.
No. Now,
the guy that gave us the tour of the mango farm, he was entertaining, but it was like, really, what am I looking at here? So there's that. Yeah.
All right. And there was one picture that was in what you guys sent me that I just couldn't make any heads or tails out of.
The butter?
For the listener, you can explain what it is. What the heck is going on in this photo?
Ah, okay. So they had pig races on stage.
But they're not real pigs.
No, they're little mechanical ones. They're triple pigs. They're about the size of a football. Yeah, they're just little fur covered plastic things with some animatronics in them, if you will. Yeah, you wind them up and they take about four steps and stop, wiggle their tail, take four steps. So they divided the Royal Theater up into four sections. So everybody was cheering for their section, and what you see is right near the end, Craig and Kim and Donna and I were in section three. So the pink pig is like walk, walk, walk. It's got one foot like hanging off the edge, going one more step, and it stops to wiggle its tail while the blue one takes the lead and wins.
Wah, wah. Yeah,
yeah. But I will give the green one on the end, and they had creative names like Captain Pig Card.
Oh dear me. I'm glad Sir Patrick wasn't there for that one.
What was the hog one? There was a hog name in there.
Yeah, there were some that were creative. I don't remember them all. I wish I could, but yeah, the morale officers, the cruise director JT, his assistants, the yellow shirt ladies, they were wearing yellow all the time. That was like the theme color.
Yeah, Discovery uniforms, all that stuff.
So was that the color of your t-shirt this year was yellow?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Oh yeah.
And we had theme nights. So there was a formal night. There was they called it Mutiny on the Holodeck, but everybody just called it Pirate Night, which is why I had that picture of me wearing a pirate hat and the parrot and the Amazon box. I was a porch pirate. You know, most people walked up to me and said, "Hey, nice parrot." Arr, I be a porch pirate. Well, we're standing in the Royal Theater waiting for the show to start, and the videographer comes around, and I did my shtick, and I went, "Arr," I had a hook, and I'm like, "I be a porch pirate. Maybe I end up in the highlight reels." I meant to say,
"You have to give Chuck the hook, not have him have it already."
I meant to say blooper reels, but I said highlight reels, and then like the next day, we get this notice: Chuck, you made the highlight reel. In fact, I was like, on StarTrek.com, day five of the cruise, the cover art is me.
Yeah.
Play button over your face.
Did you see me?
That's what I was saying. It was like
Mike Wazowski.
Mike on Monsters, Inc. I made it. I'm on TV. Look.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny. I didn't realize how seriously he was going to take my self-promotion.
Right.
Sometimes I forget what I learned from marketing people.
I didn't do so well. I actually had that picture of the Orion Pirates from TAS. You know, that didn't work so well. So, and there goes Clinton again.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue.
I do have a couple of short stories to share.
We got assimilated. So this was our fifth year for the cruise. And Donna and I were gathered up in a room. They say on the last day, I think it was Wednesday, they said, meet us at 11:45 in the observation lounge. If you're familiar with cruise ships, you know Royal Caribbean has a characteristic circular deck way up high by the smokestack, and that's where we met. There were probably 80
right up
other
there,
people.
If you look in the video,
We gathered together. They got a little bit of a late start, but we marched out, and they're playing this very Borg-like dum dum ba dum bum ba dum bum bum ba ba dum theme. We line up on the patio. JT does this little speech like, "You are the honored people who remember to put the toilet seat down," that kind of stuff, just to have some fun. Then Michelle Hurd came out and she did a little speech or two. And while there's no direct benefit this year, next year, we're part of the Borg Collective alumni, so we get special lanyards. We get invited to parties, I think. So,
does this really happen with the regular Borg?
I've never seen more people
pay that much money.
I've never seen more people so excited to get assimilated. Now, next year's Craig, and we're going to work on T-shirts like, "I, for one, welcome our cybernetic overlords," or
I'm here for the Wi-Fi.
we're working on t-shirt ideas. This is a work in progress. Clearly we need some help.
That's right.
We met these are interesting pictures. So we met Michael and Denise Akuda, and I was able to sneak a picture with Michael.
Actually, by the way, it's funny. I saw Denise Akuda almost every morning getting coffee the same time I was.
She was like clockwork.
I was like, hey, good morning, Denise. And the next day, hey, good morning, Denise.
And like you said, some of the people are very accessible. The Akutas were some of them. Anthony Rapp was around once in a while. He did a wonderful musical number on his live performance. Two songs, one he had written for his mother. His mother passed away recently, and he wrote a song for her that was very touching. I mean, I had to get out the Kleenex. The words were of the effect, you know, is this another call or is this the last call? Because when he was talking to her, and I went, oh man, I have a Zoom call with my parents every Wednesday, and that's exactly the thoughts that go through my mind. And then he was asked to sing a song at her service and sang another very warm song. Luckily, his final number, which was a third of those three, was a bit more upbeat. But I complimented him on that.
He did a great job.
Hope it wasn't going to sing like from Rent, because that was like, oh, that's kind of lighten the mood. So,
Well, I do have a quick story about that concert that he put on, which one, as Chuck alluded to, it was very good, especially that last number that you're talking about there. But as we were watching, now they made a big production about no photography or video during the show, and so we're sitting near the aisle. Chuck's, you know, on either side of me. And I see this couple walking down, and I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And so the couple goes down towards the stage, and then I see she leans up against the stage, and he's taking a selfie or picture of her.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, no, wait.
You haven't heard it. So he's taking a picture. I was like, what are they doing? I thought they were probably sitting up front. But they're taking a picture, and then after he takes the picture, she immediately goes up the little stairs and goes right on stage with Anthony.
She looked like she was out of it, though. Hey, I mean, she
during didn't... Oh, they were drinking heavily.
Anthony kept right on going. He's a professional. He never missed a beat. But he's kind of looking and slowly walking away, and she's up on stage just doing this awkward dance, like she's not dancing, but she's
moving.
She looked like she was bombed out of her head and maybe didn't even remember what was going on. It took surprisingly long for security to come out and escort her up.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, think they'd be there right away.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. I was a little stunned at how long their response was.
I don't think they even knew what to do, to be honest with you, ECP. But yeah, they got her off stage and made him leave, and apparently they had words with him later. I don't know what. But I saw them at a bar later, and I just remember thinking, what the heck were you doing? You know,
my first thought would be, I don't think you need to be at the bar anymore. But anyway,
the previous cruisers got a complimentary picture with the Crusher family. So Ed Spaliers, Gates McFadden, Will Wheaton. When I walked up, I said, Ed, I loved your work in Outlander. And Gates says, he was a real bastard, wasn't he? I said, yes, that's why it took me so long to like him in Picard. We did see our cruise family of Andy, TJ, and Viv. We keep in touch all year long on our chat group. And TJ, there was a comedy sketch improv kind of show with Ed and Gates and Will.
Which was really funny, by the way.
Yeah, it was funny. TJ, during the photo op, gave Gates a Crusher family shirt with like his graphic. It was kind of cartoony, almost like Jetsons.
Yes.
She wore that on stage for their comedy show and posted it on social media. So TJ's getting all this love. He was like, look at my shirt, man. He's a talented kid. That was cool.
That was cool.
The gentleman also in there is in the Trading Post, the gift shop with all the Star Trek stuff.
No.
I walked up and I said, could I get a selfie with you? And he's like, this guy works for Royal, I think. And he's like, people don't normally ask me that. I said, you look surprisingly similar to my boss. And I'm going to take a picture of this and post it on our group. Later, I ran into someone who looked like one of my teammates. I said, hey, excuse me, what's your name? He says, Taylor. I said, Taylor, can I get a picture with you? You look like my teammate, Earl. He goes, really?
There's a line ever.
There's there's another 6'3" Asian out there.
Hey, look, time for me to do something.
I forgot. I left my tribble on fire.
Right.
All right. Well, hopefully that gives you a taste of
a lot of fun.
I do have one more. I have two more quick stories.
Oh, okay, look at the. We need this one.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
I know. Thank you, Patrick.
My goodness, look at the time.
Yeah. So, I got two quick stories. One, there was a show called Strange New Duets, which was. They tried to pair up people that haven't performed with each other before, and they were They were doing shows. They were doing performances. They were great, and the one that I really enjoyed, and Chuck might have a different opinion, but it was Robert Picardo and Doug Jones, Me and My Shadow.
Yep.
And Doug Jones had a black ski mask and black outfit on, and he was pretending to be Robert Picardo's shadow
in a very comedic fashion.
A very long shadow.
I wish you could see it. I kind of wish I had broken the rule and recorded it, because it was so much fun to watch. But you get to see Doug Jones really contort himself, because there was a moment when he got down on his squatted down, and he looked tiny. But then, of course, he stands up, he looks huge. But Robert Picardo is such a great voice to sing, and but that was fun.
They opened that one up. Who was up first? Nanav and Nana Visitor, and who was singing with her?
Mary Chifo.
No. It was a guy. But they did a parody of the song Sisters from White Christmas. And they came out, Cisco, we don't know where he... It was like, hey, he disappeared. He's in the... we hope he comes back. And Max had written like all these songs. It was brilliant. I ran into him one morning. I said, "Hey Max, do you know who wrote all the songs for the Rat Pack that you did in the previous years?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, sorry, it was me." And I said hello. He had his daughter in tow. I didn't want to keep him because we were on our way to breakfast. But I said, do you know where I can get that? He said, funny you should mention that, because next week we'll be in Los Angeles signing all the papers and getting these to press and autographing a number of them. So he's still working on stuff. It's it's kind of cool to I acknowledge his daughter. I said, hey, who's this? He goes, that's my daughter. I said, do you have the same issue that my daughter has? Because when I go to conferences and whatnot, people are like, Chuck, can I get a selfie? And she's like, it's just my dad. And she kind of, she was 11 or 12 or something. She didn't really know how to, interact with people. But you could tell in her eyes, like, yeah, I get that. It's like,
well, you had one other quick story, Craig, because we should.
Yeah, so to wrap this up, as we were leaving, Kim and I went to, we were at the airport. We were at MLB, which is a small airport. But they still kind of identify as an Orlando airport, which is kind of interesting. But we're there. There's hardly anybody there, all right, except for the people on the flight. It's not like a busy airport.
Oh, you're going to end with a happy story, aren't you?
No, hold on. So so we go to the airport. We walk through security in like 2 minutes. It's like nothing. We go to our gate, and Kim goes, oh, look. There's LeVar Burton. And I was like, yeah, sure is. And we walk by him, and he looks at, I'm thinking, he's been on this cruise. I'm not going to bother him and say anything. Right. So he looks up at me, at my eyes, and I said, hey there. And he said, hey. And that was it. And I left him alone. So later on, Kim's like, look over there. This lady is, won't leave LeVar Burton and his wife alone. And I'm watching, and we're both watching. The lady's talking to him. He's literally the back of his head, because he's kind of turned around at this point. He's trying to give her a clue. Even LeVar's wife, now he's trying to be as polite as he can, of course. Even his wife said, can you please move along? and she just would not move and kept trying to, oh yeah, that's funny, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? It's just one of those instances where.
Well, it's one of those cases where you get to find out, you know, it's not all upside.
Yeah.
You know, celebrity does have its price sometimes. And
I mean, I would have loved to sit there and talk to him for 30 minutes, but I'm not going to bother him because I know he just got off the cruise. And so did she, because she obviously knew who he was and she was there for the same reason, but she just kept talking. And then
some people just don't know. I mean, they don't read the signals that somebody doesn't want to talk. They're kind of clueless. But I told you it was going to end with a happy story.
What signals? His wife basically told him, move along. Yeah. Can you move along?
That's a pretty big signal. Move along. Kim,
now, you two know my wife. She had totally said, if we don't board in a minute, she's going to go over there and kind of break that, divert. And, you know, Kim would do that. And I was like, oh, I so want to see this.
Delay the flight. No, I don't want the flight delay. What am I talking about? Yeah.
But even after the flight, when we landed in Charlotte, now LeVar and his wife were in first class. So they get off the plane first. And you could see that lady was trying to hurry up and get out of the plane like she was going to go find him again.
That's when you take forever getting your luggage out of the overhead bin to stop it.
Oh. Yeah, drop it. And
oh, wait, that one's not mine. Let me
unzip it a little bit and drop it. Oh, I got to put my clothes back in.
Let me buckle you back in.
Yeah, but that was the ugly side of fandom or whatever. Yeah. She was not being cool about it at all.
Yeah, we've all seen it. All right. Well, hopefully that gives you an overall sense of this year's cruise. And you guys are signed up again for next year. It's on the East Coast again next year.
Yep.
Yes, please. That I did not enjoy the one off in the Pacific.
The Ice Age tour.
No. I dressed for a summer cruise. I got frozen on that ship.
Until we got past Cabo.
That was the Disney cruise line you were on then, if you got frozen. But anyway,
it's a Disney cruise. Yeah, just the previous one I didn't enjoy as much as I did this one. Yeah, I had a good time though.
All right. Well, coming up for our show here, our next episode is going to be on March 21st. And the main mission there is Chuck's Trek book review, which is going to be Vengeance. Right. By Dafydd Ab Hugh.
Gesundheit.
It's a Deep Space Nine Star Trek novel.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be getting the lowdown on that one. And then on April 4th, it's no longer possibly, we will be discussing the Discovery premiere and not one, but two episodes.
Woo! That's going to be tough because that's the day it comes out.
But exactly.
We'll do our best.
Eric says we're whistling away as we're doing this one. Exactly, Eric's. All right. But for now, it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and try to warp on out of here. I'm Clinton. You can find me at Comedy Forecast, all one word, with the number 4.com. You can find me on all the social medias out there, I think, or maybe not, but a lot of them anyway. And who speaks for you guys?
I'm a little parched, so go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, you can find us by looking for Technorama Podcast. We do a podcast almost every Sunday night if you happen to be around.
Yeah.
Obviously, we couldn't do it while we were on the cruise or anything. But we're back in the saddle this Sunday night and coming at you with more geek news and fun and humor and history. And you never know what else. Technorama Podcast.
And you might just learn something. All right, time to hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on X at The Topic is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck Craig and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't put on the red shirt. Poor guy.